Today I want to share with you guys, see greater and do greater. Amen? See greater and do what? And do greater. The reason why at times we cannot do greater is because we don't see greater. And I'm going to explain to you guys what I mean. How we view God will determine how far we can go with God. Let me say that again. How you and I view God will determine how far we can go with God. Our perception of God will determine the power of God in our lives. That is why the Bible says, my people perish as a result of lack of knowledge. Amen? Jesus said, eternal life is knowing me. There is power in knowing God. What you do not know cannot work for you. What you do not know cannot manifest in your life. Amen? See greater and do greater. How you view yourself will also determine how far you yourself you can go. Our perception of God and our perception of ourselves. I can understand if you have a limited perception of yourself. It's okay in the meantime. But if you have a limited perception of God, you are doomed. You're doomed. It's okay for you to see yourself small or little because there are instances in the Bible of servants of God who see themselves as nothing. But if they dare see God the way they see themselves, they'll be doomed. If we dare see God the way we see this church, nothing will work for us. If we dare see God the way we see our current situation, nothing will work for us. How we view God will determine how far we can go with God. Your perception of God will determine the power of God in your life. Amen? Let's look at human means to see greater and do greater. What do I mean by human means to see greater and do greater? The natural aspect of us as human beings trying to do the impossibilities. You see, the reason why we as human beings, we have what it takes to do certain things that we see as impossible naturally is because you and I, we are made in the image and likeness of God. You see, just because we are made in the image and likeness of God, we have some power inside of us that we are capable to do certain things. Because when you read the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God created man in his image and likeness, and God gave them dominion. God gave them power. God gave them capacity. God gave them potential to do what? To dominate what he has created. Which shows that you and I, we have what it takes to dominate. That is why we see unbelievers are doing great exploits. Christians are doing great exploits. What about you? Is it because they are special? Is it because they are angels? Is it because God loves them so much, God doesn't love you? No, that is not the case. It's your perception of God and your perception about yourself. Napoleon, the man that wrote Think and Grow Rich, says that whatever the mind can conceive and believe, they can achieve. The human imagination is very powerful. You don't have to be a believer. You can be a believer and an unbeliever to achieve greatness in life. Why is that? Because we are all made in the image and likeness of God. No human being is exempted for that. Unbelievers can capitalize into that divine nature in them. But the Bible says, what makes us, this is why we as Christians, we should even do more than them. Because greater is he that is in us. Jesus said, greater works you will do than these. But why are we as believers? Unbelievers are doing greater works. They are impacting the world. But we, some of us as believers, we're not doing anything to contribute in society. And then we are jealous of unbelievers when they achieve greatness. We condemn them. The Bible said God is the God of both the rich and the poor. If you see that you like it or not, he is the God of both the rich and the poor. The human means to see greater and do greater. Let's look at the account of the story of the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Today we're going to have a lot of scriptures, amen? It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelled there. Then look at this. Focus on verse 3. Then they said to one another. This is humanity unified. Humanity unified. One thing that I want you guys to learn in this life, that if you want to achieve greatness, if you want to do greater things, you cannot do by yourself. You're going to need who? You're going to need people. Even unbelievers, they need each other. Amen? Why can't we Christians come together as one? Come together and work. They said to one another, come. Action. Let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Look at their mindset. Look at what they envision to do as a team. Child of God, I want you to pay careful attention to this. It says, let us come together and build ourselves without God in it. You see, if human beings can determine in their hearts to do certain things, they will do. I'm telling you this. If human being has determined in their heart that I will do this, nothing can stop them. They said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. They're trying to achieve something, both natural and spiritual, for themselves. They're trying to achieve greatness without God. Spiritual greatness, to have a tower that reaches to the heavens with no authority at all. And they're trying to build a city, a society. Let us make a name for ourselves. Man's glory. Men love glory. We all have glory. You see, the reason why we love glory is because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We like praise. We like achievement. We like to be celebrated. Amen? But when you like to be celebrated without God, then it becomes pride. Amen? So now, let us make a name for ourselves. Wow. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Remember, they're disobeying God's commandments of be multiplied, be fruitful, subdue, and occupy the entire earth. But they say, no, we don't want to do that. We are our own gods. And we're going to create our own religion by creating a tower whose top is in the heavens. We're going to create our own society. And that's exactly how this world is leading towards. Our world is leading towards that. We're in the end time where the government or institutions or trade organizations are coming together to put Christianity aside, to say, no, let us build one earth, one global, what? Global village. They call it global village. And we don't want Christianity, our own religion. The Bible says, verse 5, but the Lord came down to see. You see? Whatever it is that will determine our hearts, whatever it is that we're trying to do, God sees. We might think that men rule this earth, but God is in charge. I'm telling you this. God is in charge of this earth. That's my phone. You can just turn it off, yeah. God is in charge. God is in charge. Amen? So God said, okay. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons, you see how he called them, the sons of men had built. He said, wow. Even God came down to investigate. Even God came down to see. Wow. And this is the feedback of God. This is the feedback of God to the sons of men. Listen to it, verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed. That word indeed means truly. The people are one. Hey. That is why Satan hates unity. Satan hates unity. The reason why Satan was able to rebel against God, he couldn't do it solo. He couldn't do it by himself. He said, no, I cannot rebel against God by myself. I need other angels. Because he understands the power of unity. Jesus said, if Satan is divided against itself, it cannot stand. So even in the demonic world, they understand the power of unity. Why we as Christians, why can we work together? Why in our homes, our family, why can we be unified? He said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. This baffles my mind. This is God's feedback regarding the sons of men. That if I don't intervene, these people, they are united. They are stubborn. When people are united with blood, with covenants, they are stubborn. It's hard. Nobody can break their covenant. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and they are confused their language that they may not understand one another. You know, God did not destroy the city. God did not destroy the tower. He didn't destroy the city. He didn't destroy the tower. Hey! Oh, if God could have destroyed the city or the tower, they would have been united again. So that's why I said, when people are united, they are also stubborn. People who have sold their soul to the devil, to tell them to give you the secret, they won't. But we as Christians, like Samson, some of us, what is your power? Oh, a woman will come into your life. You reveal everything. We have to be very, very careful. My pastor will always say, if God gives you a vision, don't share that vision with everybody. Don't share your vision with everybody. Amen? So what God is so wise that, you know what? For me to break these people, I'm not going to break what they have done, but I'm going to break them by dividing them. Oh God. Hey, division. It happens all over the world. All over the world. The society divides us based on race, based on sexual preferences, based on religion, based on ethnicity, based on gender, based on everything. That's if you want to divide human beings, look for certain things that people share in common. Even among Christianity, we can be divided. That's what happens. Jesus said, I come to divide. It's either you're for me or you're against me. So life is all about division. Don't be afraid of separation, especially if that division is good. Amen? So, verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city. God only did one thing, to confuse their language. And the Bible says, they ceased. How can I and Judy work together if she speaks French and does not speak English? Just like I work, we live in Canada. I was working at the airport, right? And our people, you know, I work in the kitchen. And they were speaking their language to the point where they were speaking their language to me. I said, my sister, please speak English. Because she thought that I was like them. Eventually, I started catching certain words. If you want to work with, the Bible says, can two work together except they agree? Agreement in communication, agreement in vision. Because if you have a vision, you have to communicate that vision. Amen? If that person does not speak exactly what you're speaking, they cannot understand your vision. Even with God, the reason why we have the Holy Spirit, is like the communication channel between our spirit and the Spirit of God. That's why you and I, we can understand the Bible. Because our spirit is alive to understand the spiritual realm, to understand the things of the Spirit. Its name is called Babel because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Amen? So we see here that human means to see greater and do greater. They wanted to do certain things again. They had a vision. They wanted to do certain things without God. And the takeaway from this is that we have what it takes to do anything. But if it's not in line with God, God will break it. God will put it an end. But if it's in line with God and it's for God's glory, not for your own glory, then it will stand. It will stand. Amen? So now let's look at godly means to see greater and do greater. Amen? Now, Why do we have to view God as the greatest? Why? Why do we have to see God as the omnipotent, omniscience? According to Exodus chapter 18, verse 10 to 11, this is what Jethro said about God, right? We need to understand who God is, because that would determine how far we can go in life. That would determine if anything is possible. Like I said, with you, it can be impossible. It's okay for you to limit yourself. But don't you ever in your life limit God. I'm telling you, the day you limit God, that problem will be bigger than, that problem will crumble you. And know what the devil does? The devil always maximizes himself as if he is bigger than God. The day, oh boy, the Bible says that he appears as an angel of light. He appears as a roaring lion, but he is not a lion. He appears as a roaring lion, but he is not a lion. He appears as an angel of light to be all righteous, but he's not righteous. That is why you need to know the right view of who God is, the God that you're dealing with. We don't serve a small God. Don't put God in a box. Don't limit God. Look at what Jethro said in Exodus chapter 18, verse 10 to 11. Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now, you see, knowledge. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing which they behave proudly, he was above them. You see, oh God. They are powerful human beings. I'm not going to lie. They are powerful people out there who money, they have so much money that they can buy anything. Look at people planning to go to Mars. Can you imagine? But look at what Jethro is saying, that, wow, how do I come to this conclusion that God is greater than all the other gods? How? Sometimes we're in church, God is great, but have you actually experienced God's greatness in your life? You see, child of God, it's one thing to have head knowledge, but you want to have experimental knowledge where you actually experience God for yourself, because that will make your faith stronger, because you're not just taking somebody else's faith to believe in God. Amen? So Jethro is based in this knowledge that God is greater than all the other gods because of what God did for the children of Israel in Egypt. He said, you delivered them under the hands of the Egyptians. They were so proud. Pharaoh was so proud. Who is this God? Who is this I am that you are? What can he do? We have so many gods. People are so proud. Witches and wizards, they are so proud. We have put you in bondage for 20 years. Who's going to deliver you? You have been going through this problem for so many years. Who's going to deliver you? Who's going to help you? That's from a proud speech. Amen? But Jethro said that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing which they behave proudly, he was above them. Child of God, you need to know that God is the greatest, and God is greater than everything and anyone. Amen? Let's look at Job chapter 42, verse 1 to 2. I'll read first because I have so many scriptures because of time. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. Wow. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You see? But you know what? But God can withhold the purpose of man. But you cannot withhold the purpose of God. God can prevent the plans of the wicked, but the wicked cannot prevent the plans of God. Pharaoh was so stubborn that he kept rebelling against God. God said, okay, keep rebelling. But the day God was ready, he drowned Pharaoh and his army. So it shows that God can do everything, and there's no purpose of yours that can be withheld from you. Now, I'll read again Job chapter 33, verse 12. Look, in this you are not righteous. I will answer you. This is, oh God. Look, and this is God speaking to Job, because Job thinks that he's so righteous. God said, okay. He said, you're not righteous, dude. I don't care about your righteousness. They're like filthy rags. You're not righteous. But I will answer you, for God is what? Greater than man. Hey, child of God, I don't care if you are Justin Trudeau. I don't care if you are Davido. I don't care if you are Donald Trump. I don't care who you are in terms of your natural status or your wealth or your demonic power. The day I will exalt you or I will be so afraid of you, you become a snare to me. The Bible says God is greater than man. It doesn't matter how powerful that man is, child of God. It doesn't matter the government system. God is what? Greater than man. Child of God, I really want you to grasp this perception of God, this view of God, because this will determine how you will see yourself, how you will see the church, how you will see others. Your view of God starts with your own view for yourself. God is greater than man. Amen? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, "As you have dealt with David, my father, and sent him cedars to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God." You see the difference between Solomon building something and the people in the book of Genesis, they were trying to build something for their own name. But whereas Solomon is trying to be great in line with God's will, he's trying to be great for God's glory. That is the type of greatness that God will back you up. That is the type of greatness that will last. That is the type of greatness that will stay. Because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God's glory. You're doing it for the betterment of humanity. Amen? That's exactly what Solomon was trying to accomplish here. He says, I am building a temple. For whose name? For the name of the Lord my God. Previously, they were trying to build a city and a tower to the top of the heavens for their own name, to make a name for themselves. Child of God, you see, God will search your heart. Before God will make you great, God will search your heart. Because God wants to know that, oh, if I lift this sister up, if I lift this brother up, number one, is it because, the reason why God will search your heart, God is looking to see if you'll be so proud and you'll be so wicked. Because when you're up there, oh my God, everybody has to call you yes sir, yes ma. Everybody, like you start bigging yourself up that everybody else is roach. But look at Jesus Christ, the greatest of all. He's so humble. His humility surpasses everything else. That's why the Bible said that Moses was like one of the most humblest men, even though the man was great. So child of God, whatever you are doing, if you want to, you see, God is not against you trying to achieve greatness, but God wants to know the intent of your heart. Why do you want to be great? Why do you want to have an audience? Why do you want to have influence? Why do you want to have affluence? Why? Is it because you want to show up? Is it because you want people to applaud you? Is it because you want to build houses? Why? Is it because for my name's sake? Is it because for my glory? Or is it because for the betterment of others? If you choose for God's glory and for the goodness of humanity, God will back you up. God will support that greatness. Amen? Let's continue. So Solomon said, "I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbath, on the new moons, and on the set feast of the Lord our God. This is the ordinance forever to Israel, and the temple which I build will be great." You see, Solomon was trying to build something for God. He wasn't just trying to build a simple temple. If God has called you into something, God wants you to be great in whatever he has called you to. So there's no crime of being great. Jesus did not stop his disciples when they asked, "Master, oh, who's the greatest?" He didn't prevent them from asking that kind of question. But the approach of getting there, Jesus had an issue with that. He said, don't be like the unbelievers. They like to lord it over other people. But for you, if you want to be great, do what? Serve. Serve. So God created you for greatness, child of God. So it's in your right to be great. And it's also your responsibility to be great, because you have been gifted. And it's a crime for you as a child of God with so much gift for you to leave this world empty. For you to leave this world mediocre. For you to leave this world ineffective. It's a crime. It's a crime against humanity. Because God put that potential in you for you to make an impact. But you sit down, fold your hands. "God, I'm not going to use this gift of healing. I don't care if my brother or sister is sick beside me. God, I'm not going to use this gift of preaching. I don't care if this person is perishing to go to hell. God, I'm not going to use this gift of leading people. I don't care if my family is dysfunctional." Child of God, greatness has responsibility. That is why some of us, God cannot entrust us with greatness because we're not yet matured. We're not yet responsible. Jesus said, if you can be faithful in what is little, then you can be faithful in much. Amen? Let's continue. Look what it says in verse 5. And the temple which I build will be great. Why? Why would it be great? Look at this. For our God is greater than all gods. What? So first we learned that from Job that God is greater than men. And now God is greater than all gods. We tend to be afraid of demonic powers. Yes. We tend to be afraid of the devil. Yes. We tend to be afraid of altars that are fighting us when we are asleep. Amen. But we also tend to be afraid of human beings. Catch this, child of God. These are the two entities that you and I, we tend to fear. Or we tend to see as powerful. Spiritual entity and human beings. But Job attested that God is greater than men. And Solomon attested that God is greater than all gods. This pretty much ends my sermon for today. If you know this to revelation, believe me, you will live a life without any fear. You will attempt anything. Now let's see who born monkey. Let's see who will stand against your destiny. Let's see if God is for you, who dare to be against you? You might say, oh, child of God, they are pursuing me from my village. Ah. Let them pursue you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Fear. The Bible says, fear not. Fear not. People will appear to you. Oh, you didn't know who I am? I know who you are. You are a dust. You will die. Oh, I have power. Me too, I have power. Satan will come and act as if he's God. He's not God. People will come and act as if they're God, but they're not God. Your boss is not God. I used to be so afraid of my boss going to work. I'm like, God. I'm like, no. This man is a man. Even my co-worker was telling me that, Brian, but when are you talking to your boss? Why are you shaking? He's a man. He's a Christian. He's a man. Now talk to him. I know you can talk. Talk. One day, I said, God, this fear must die. And I spoke to this man without any fear. I'm like, what am I going to lose? What am I going to lose? Tell him like it is. The fear of man is a snare, child of God. We tend to be afraid of people because why? They are smarter than us. They are gifted than us. They have more money than us. It doesn't matter. They're not God. They're not God. Only God is God. Only God is God. Just because somebody has more money than you don't make them better than you. Don't see them as God. No celebrity is God to me. No government leader is God to me. No pastor is God to me. My parents are not. No human being is God to me. Only God is God. He says, I will build something great because my God is greater than all gods. God wants you to be great. Why? Because when God wants you to be great, God wants you to give your very best because God wants to showcase his glory. That is why Jesus said, greater works you can do than me. Because Jesus wants to show himself through you. Because you're doing it for God. He said, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I will give you my all in all because why? You are the greatest. Some of us, we do our all in all for other people. Not even for God. That is the crime against God. I'm telling you, there's a crime against God. Giving our best to mere mortals when God is saying that I have given you my best. I have given you my best. What is the best of God? The Son of God. Paul said the indescribable gift of God. God gave his best. How much more would he not withhold from us when he gave his Son, Jesus Christ? If God gave his best for us, sinners, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more? But when it comes to giving our best, we can give our boyfriend, our girlfriend the best. We can give our boss the best. When we go to work, we can dress well. Some people are asking me, some people are telling me, okay, you go to work, you wear your suit. When you come to church, you wear, how do you call it? Jumpers. So that means that you're trying to look good for towards your boss. What about God? You want to come to church, look your best for God. Sing your best for God. Everything you're doing, do for God. Do it for God. Do the best for God. You see, the Bible never says that you and I will should love human beings with all. He never said that. He said that all only applies to God. Not even your wife, not even your children. He said, love thy Lord your God with all. He never said, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. The way you love Brian, that's the way I should love Pastor Adolphus. But when it comes to loving God, I should even love God more than anybody else. See how he, that's what the Bible says, he's a jealous God. Amen? He does not share his glory with anybody. God wants to be the best. And he wants you to do your best because he is the best. Look, for example, like human nature, like I'm a Madrid fan. Sometimes when the players will come to play for Madrid, like they ask them, why are you playing for Madrid? They said, this is the best club. So I have to play my best. What? So they are playing their best because of the image of the club. Because the club is known as the best club in the world. Because they won all of the UEFA Championship League. 14 titles. Now, if you and I, they ask you, sister, hey, why are you doing your best? Because I serve the best of the best. I'm telling you, why are you giving your best? Because I have the best. Do we have that attitude? If human beings, they can be proud of an organization, they can be proud of each other, why can we be proud of God? When somebody asks you, who are you? Oh, I'm a child of God. Who are you serving? Oh, I'm going to church to serve God. Don't hide being a man of God. Oh, God. Somebody made me hide being a man of God. It's you see? That is why Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me on that day, I'll be ashamed of you. Somebody will tell you, oh, you're a man of God, but you have nothing. That is why Peter said, money I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, walk. Don't be ashamed of this God that you have or the calling that you carry. When somebody asks, are you a man of God? Are you a child of God? Yes, I am. Your family members will laugh at you, but this Jesus, look at your life. Look at where you're staying. This Jesus. Sometimes you want to feel ashamed of even this God that we serve. It is not God's fault. The enemy is trying to make you feel like our God is a God of poverty. Our God is a God of wretchedness. Whereas the devil has given his people wealth. He promised Jesus wealth. God, I used to have that view that, okay, God, I serve a God of poverty. I serve a God of wretchedness. That plays around with your head. And that's the view that you have about God. So you're afraid to attain or to plan anything great. Because like, oh, my God is small. Me too, I am small. We have been deceived. We have been deceived in the body of Christ. We have been deceived. Africa. Okay. We see pastors who have a mega church, beautiful cars, big houses, children are in school. But we see the believers, they are wretched. What is the difference? Is it because that pastor is special than a child of God? Is it because the promises of God is only for the servants of God, not for the children of God? The greatest commission is not for the pastor only. It's for everybody to go out there and win souls. Serving God is not limited to ministers. It's for everybody. Casting demons. Oh, God. Why do we... I can't blame the pastor because they have tapped into that knowledge. But some of them don't share that knowledge with the church members. That what I can do, you can do. That is the message of Jesus. What I can do, you can do. But pastors will tell you what I can do, you cannot do. Depend on me. For me to do it for you. Depend on me for me to do for you. Serve me first and I'll meet your needs. Who has Jesus served? That is the greatest deception. And I'm not afraid to say this. We have to tell our people that you are a child of God. What Jesus can do, you can do. What are the greater works that Jesus is talking about that you and I we can do? Healing. Casting demons, performing miracles. Is it only limited to the ministers? No! Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord can do it. I'm telling you this. If Christians in Africa will wake up with this knowledge that God, yes, I come to this church. My God, I will have my own house. My children will go to good school. I will not just stay in church and admire my pastor and his family. When the Bible said greatness is for all, it said the wealth of the land is for all, even the king eats of it. Any country that you're in, you see, somebody sent an image of trying to compare the African leaders and the Western leaders. The African leaders, all of them have pot bellies. All of them have pot bellies, Pastor. And the Western leaders, all of them are thin, they're slim, good in shape. Somebody was saying that. It was a very profound statement. That is the difference. Because the leaders, they eat for themselves. That is, you can tell based on your physical appearance. A pastor who looks so flamboyant, but if you see a church member, Richard, that can also tell you about the church. I'm telling you this. As the leader, so is the people. Child of God, but God does not want it just to be a one-man show. He wants all of his children to do greater works. Amen? So let's continue. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth, but your great power and outstretched arm, there's nothing too hard for you. That we understand. Amen? So now let's go. Now let's look at Jesus Christ. What made him great? He says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. I'm not going to read everything. I'll just read the main verse because of time. Matthew chapter 12, verse, let's look at 6. Jesus, in this context, Jesus was talking about the Sabbath, right? So in verse 6, he said, yet I say to you that in this place, there's one greater than the temple. Hey! Child of God. The children of Israel, their focus was on the temple. You know, when I come to church, you know, sometimes we can go to church. If I go to this church, there's power there. That's why I said Christianity, we have been deceived. When Christianity revolves around the man of God and the church building, right in Jesus Christ, we have been deceived big time. That is why somebody can stay in their room. They cannot call the name of Jesus. Oh, they will call the prophet's name. As if the prophet is the one that will cast that demon. My Father in the Lord, we have been deceived. I'm telling you this. Jesus said, greater than the temple. Greater than the temple. The Jewish people, the temple revolve around their life, their religious life. Sometimes we come to church, you know what? If I go to church, I'll feel fine. You can still be fine at home when you call upon the name of the Lord. Ah, God. It's like when we come to church, that's when we feel like that's the only place where God is. Or this man of God, that's the only place, that's the only man of God that God listens to. Ah, child of God. Satan has deceived us big time. We as believers, sheep led astray. It should never revolve around any man of God. The church should revolve around the pillar, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, I am greater than the temple. What are you playing with? But look, knowledge, child of God, knowledge. He said, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It didn't say lack of prayer. It didn't say lack of attendance in church. It didn't say lack of speaking in tongues. It didn't say any of that. It said lack of knowledge. What type of knowledge? That knowledge that will set you free. The knowledge of God. I said, when you know the truth will set you free. The greatest weapon of the devil is what? Deception. There's something called spiritual manipulation, spiritual deception, where in order for you to receive from God, you have to sow a seed, you have to give money. There are many things that we do in church that are, they sound so spiritual, but they're not biblical. And I've told God that, God, I don't care, the man of God, if you're going to say something that is not, that is making my ears itchy. It sounds spiritual. Again, it can sound spiritual. Put salt in water. If I open this Bible, maybe there's salt. But the context in which the salt is being spoken of, it doesn't sound right. I don't care if you're a prophet. Believe in me, I don't care. You see, we do things that are so spiritual, but I did, and that is one thing I respect about white people, with all due respect. They divide this word. And things work for them. Why is that? For them, they don't even have to pray and fast for things to work for them. For us Africans, we have to do all sorts of spiritual rituals to get results. Wash your feet. Do this. White people don't too. They acquire knowledge and they apply it. It works. African churches, bring this. Wear this. But, oh God, that's why I said we have been deceived. Now, let's look at another account. The scribes and the Pharisees, they asked for sign, right? So we see that Jesus is saying that I'm greater than the temple. I am greater than this church. I am greater than any church. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 42, I'm not going to read everything because of time. So now look what it says. Now it's talking about signs. The queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus was actually using the scripture to tell them who he is. That is why I started off by saying that your perception of God, your view of God, will determine how far you will go with God. Child of God, this is real. And I pray that this will change our perception of God. We can limit ourselves, but don't you ever in your life limit God. He said, he was trying to tell these scribes and Pharisees, oh, give us signs. Jesus said, you guys, you have seen signs. A lady from Ethiopia came all the way to Jerusalem to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look at me. I am the power and the wisdom of God, and I'm greater than Solomon. But you refuse not to listen to me. Hey, sometimes we can hold on to certain doctrines of men, certain traditions of men. And Jesus is saying that, no. Allow the workings of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what I was going to prepare. Honestly speaking, I didn't know what I was going to prepare. I was just sleeping. When Pastor told me yesterday, I didn't know what, usually I plan things in advance, but I didn't know what I was going to prepare. But then I was just sleeping. But then a particular theme came into my heart for the past week when Jesus said that I will destroy the works of the devil. Because I'm like, God, I feel like Satan is so great. Like, God, would I be able to, can I be delivered from this thing that has been going into me in my life for so long? When I read that scripture that I am manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And then I woke up, something that I hear was greater. And the pastor was praying, pastor mentioned the word great. I'm like, yeah, God, this is just a confirmation. Amen? So, now let's look at the Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. These are just instances of Jesus himself saying the word greater. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than Solomon. Don't forget, Solomon was the wisest man. And Jesus is greater in wisdom than Solomon. Amen? So, John chapter 4, verse 12 to 15, it says, this is the woman asking Jesus now, are you greater than our father Jacob? Are you greater than our father Jacob? What? Jesus said, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Hey! He knows how to put people in their place. Jesus knows how to put you in your place. He said, okay, this Jacob, he said, this water, okay, Jacob gave you this water. But this water, you drink it, you thirst. Jesus, God knows how to smash human's wisdom. He knows how to scatter. He said, okay, this Jacob. You see, God is not afraid of even his own servant of God. He would tell like it is, I am greater than Solomon. He's not trying to speak in arrogance. He did the same with John the Baptist. He said, John the Baptist is the greatest, But those who are of God, they are also greater than him. He's not afraid to tell it like it is. God does not share his glory with anybody. He said, okay, continue to drink this water. You will die. But I will give you, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Jesus knows himself. He knows himself. He knows himself. That is why I said, child of God, get to know Jesus Christ, because that will help you to know yourself. When people are trying to undermine you, say, okay, it's for you, it's not going to work. Lie. For me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They might think you're proud. No, you're not proud, because you know who's inside of you. But you can't speak like that because you don't know Jesus. You don't know who's inside of you. Amen? Oh, it cannot be done. Oh, it cannot be done. Okay, what are we going to do? And I pray that God will break those limited mentality that you and I will have in the name of Jesus. Let's continue because of time. Now, John chapter 5, verse 36 to 40. Jesus, but I have a greater witness than John. See, Jesus is not a respecter of any man. He said, even John, my forerunner, came to tell you guys about me. He said, you know what, but I have a greater witness than John about who I am. You see, Jesus asked people about who he is, because not because he has low self-esteem. Jesus did that because he wants people to know him before he goes, because he said that in my name, because that name carries his personhood, that name carries his power, that name carries his presence, that name carries pretty much who he is and what he's capable of doing. But if you don't know this name, what that name stands for, the Bible said he's Emmanuel, God with us. When you're afraid, you don't know that name, Emmanuel. So how can you be assured that God is with you? He's Jeshua, the Savior. If you're afraid, you need deliverance. You don't know that name, Jeshua. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. He said, I've been anointed to deliver the captive. You don't know his name. He said, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do. Again, the greater works he's talking about, the greater works that I do, bear witness of me. You see, sometimes our works can tell what we are capable of, who we are. That's why the virtuous woman, the Bible said, let our works praise us. Sometimes women don't even talk. Some women, they talk, but their works is poor. I want a rich man. But your IQ is low. You understand? You big yourself up, but you have nothing to show for. Some men are so fake. You dress well. You have car. You borrow money. Financing that car. I met this guy. I'm not going to say name. The guy has a nice car. I said, bro, you're rich. He said, the guy put me in his place. I'm not rich. I finance this car. I said, bro. I said, bro. See, I finance this car. I'm like, bro, man, you look rich. He said, no, I finance this car. I said, God, I'll never do that again. So because why? We appear to be rich, but we appear to be rich financing. We appear to be rich, but we're enslaved in debt. That is deception under the sun. Amen. In Canada, you know, we showcase, we dress well, we have a car. But the thing is that some of us, we have all these things that are tangible, but we don't have the real assets. God. Assets that will last, real estates. Then you can show off. That one you can be proud about. Because that's an asset. That's something that will last. Amen? So Jesus was saying that, look at my works. Who can do this works? Who can make the dead rise? Who can do that? And then the Father has sent me, and that the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. So the greatest confirmation or the witness is God himself, his Father. You see, the Son gets his approval from his Father. Parents, oh God, you can ruin the esteem of your child at an early age if you don't affirm them. God affirmed Jesus Christ when he was young through an angel. He told Mary, he said, Mary, this is not just an ordinary child. It's a holy thing. His name is Jesus. He will save the world. The Bible said Mary kept that thing in her heart. That is why Mary was able to tell the people that go to my son. He's able to do this. But parents, when your son is talented in drawing, say, no, drawing is not going to make you, it's not going to bring money. Leave that. Go study nursing. Ah, God. African parents will do that a lot. We do that a lot. We don't sharpen the gifts of our children. We don't.
We don't. We want them to be like everybody else, where the money goes. Thank God for social media, where anybody can make money. Anybody can make money through their talent. Jesus gets his validation from God the Father. Child of God, we are what? Child of God. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love that we are called children of God. So if you want your validation, get it from God. Amen? Now let's continue. John chapter 8, verse 48 to 59. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus, man, the insult. But he's not afraid. They insult you. You're a demon. You're this. You're that. He said, okay. With all the false accusation, with all the wrong view of Jesus Christ, he didn't budge. He said, I know who I am. Somebody will come and tell you, oh, you're not a man of God. You're not a child of God. You're a sinner. No, I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. You have to speak what God thinks about you. This church, we're growing. We are hundreds. We're thousands. We're not small. We are a growing church. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. Said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor, me. I do not seek my own glory. Again, just, you see, child of God, Solomon built this temple for the glory of God. Jesus Christ came for the glory of God. So the key insight for greatness is the glory of God. He said, I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. But most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see. I'll jump to 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. You see, if you honor yourself, your honor is nothing. Amen? It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Again, knowledge, child of God. It's knowledge. You can come to church, and then you can leave this place, have a limited view of God. Have a limited view of yourself. Because the Pharisees, they think they knew God, but they didn't. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. Jesus is bold. Sometimes it's not afraid to tell people the way it is. Tell them, you're a liar. You're fake. That's one thing I've learned recently. I'm like, God, I need to start speaking the truth to myself and start speaking the truth to people. People don't like that. My boss, I spoke the truth to my boss. My boss not like that. But I'm like, you know what? Let me be real. And I actually sent an email. And he was like, I've never seen anybody in my life who is telling me that they are incompetent, but they are willing to learn, to know how to do a job so that you can do well. So I've never seen that. I said, sir, I'll be lying to you to pretend as if I know. But when I don't know, and at the end of the day, I'll put you guys to shame. But I can tell that, sir, I don't know how to do this job. But one thing I can tell you, I am willing to learn. But sometimes we have all this stuff on our resume. And then when you get that job, actually prove yourself. Child of God, be truthful. Be truthful of who you are. Amen? So Jesus said, you guys are liars. I do not know him. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 10, verse 29. This is going to encourage you. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is powerful, which shows that you are secure in the hands of God. Because Jesus said, anyone that comes to me, anyone that the Father has given me, my Father is greater than all, greater than everyone, greater than anything, and no one is able to snatch you from Jesus. No one is able to snatch me from Jesus. Why? Because his Father is greater than all. Him and his Father, they are one. Greatness. Finally, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, you are of God, my little children. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And I have overcome them, because who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have seen the greatest. We start off by seeing greatness from the Father. We see greatness from who? From the Son. We see greatness who? From the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity, all of them, they are great. They are the greatest. So we have greatness inside of us. We have greatness inside of us. Amen? We're almost there. Now, see greater. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 8. I want us to read this. I have two more verses and then I'm going to be closed. It says in Genesis chapter 13, 14 to 18, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendant as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went to dwell by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Okay. If you look at this account, this is very spiritual, because there's no way physically Abram would have moved to see this land. Oh, God. Hey. There's no way. That is why this was a vision that Abram had about God. So when you're having a vision of God, you're no longer operating as a human. Oh, God. When you're in that realm, you're no longer operating in the natural realm. You're able to see beyond. That is why the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is seen in the spiritual realm, what God has promised, but they're not evident in the physical realm. So God is saying to Abraham, look from the place where you are. I want you to look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you, your descendant forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth. What? So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. The impossibilities is possible with God. Arise, walk in the land through its length. Oh my God. In that dream, Abraham was walking in the land. Its length, its width. For I give to you. Abraham was just walking. God, you're going to give me this land. But where Abraham was, that was not the land. But what Abraham saw, it was bigger. What we see in this church is bigger. But what we see now, oh Lord. Abraham, the Bible said, Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mara, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. His response was what? Altar. That God, I thank you for this vision. I thank you for making me great. Amen? Now, let's look at, that is seeing greatness. Because again, for us as Christians, if you want to see greatness, we have to allow God to give us a vision. And when God gives us a vision, that vision is bigger than you. Believe me, this vision, what God promised Abraham is bigger than Abraham. You know what God told Abraham? So, okay, if I give you a child when you are strong, you might think it's your own manpower that did it. Oh, God. Sometimes God will take away anything that you rely on to fulfill that vision. God will take away your own willpower, your own wisdom, your own finances. He will take away people. God will make sure that you have no helper. You have no helper. But whose name are you going to call? You call upon that name and God will come true. God makes sure that Abraham, you have nothing to prove that it's you that made it possible. Even his wife Sarah wanted to make it happen. That's why they end up having Ishmael, because he was trying to perform the vision of God. Amen? So now let's see John chapter 1. 43 to 51. That's where we're going to stop. Yeah. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter.
Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?"
Fear God.
The question is, can anything good come out of your life? Can anything great come out of your life? Can anything great or good come out of your church or out of your family, out of your country, out of your society, out of your community? Let's be honest. It's good to ask this question. Some of us, we sit down by ourselves. God, what is my life all about? What am I on this earth for? He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That is where, God. But what came out of Nazareth? The Savior of the world. Can you imagine? He said, can anything good come out of this small town? But what came out of that small town is the Savior of the entire world. Which shows that you might be the smallest in life, but when you have a good view of God, you'll be great. You know, Philip said to Nathanael, he said, "Okay, Nathanael, I'm not going to try to convince you. I know you're pessimistic. I know you're brutal. I know you're honest. But you know what? Come and see." Sometimes people are going to come and tell us, "Oh, can anything good come out of your life? I have this vision, my sister. I want to do this business. The church, our church is having this crusade. This business." Tell them, you know what? Come and see. Don't try to prove yourself to them, because if you try to prove yourself, then they're going to start planting doubts in you. And you yourself, you'll be in that boat being pessimistic. He said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit." Very real, very authentic. Tell us like it is. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Even before Philip was even thinking about informing Nathanael about Jesus, Jesus already saw it in advance. Which shows that we don't know what the future is, because we are human beings, we're limited, but we know who holds the future. We know the future of this church because God knows the future of this church. We know the future of our lives because God tells us that, "For I know the plans that I have for you, to give you hope and an expected end." That's the future that God has for us. Amen? So Jesus answered and said, Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Now look, you see, when Jesus Christ gave a revelation to Nathanael, that is why sometimes if you undermine yourself, allow God to speak to you. Nathanael was very brutal. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That was his thoughts. But when Jesus told him that, "Before Philip came to you, I saw you." The words of Jesus, they're not just mere words. They are powerful. They're able to change your negative mindset. You see how Jesus was able to change 360 the mindset of Nathanael? Now, look at the words of Nathanael. He said, "Rabbi." First of all, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" We can learn something from this man, Nathanael. Can anything good come out of your life? Can anything good come out of this church? Can anything good come out of your family? That is the same question. It's authentic. It's real. Can anything good come out of this relationship? Can anything good come out of my finances? Yes. You can limit yourself, like I said, but don't you ever limit God. But now, look, when he actually obeyed, when he came. Sometimes, it's good for you to be pessimistic. Don't sit there. It's dangerous. Don't sit there. Look for a solution. If you're having problems, look for help. While you're looking for help, because God sees your heart, while you're looking for help, God will ensure that you meet the right people that will help you. Nathanael was like, "Okay, I'm going to come." And then when he encountered Jesus, the truth that will set him free, because Jesus spoke his word, their spirit and their life, he changed the mindset of Nathanael. He said, he answered, "Rabbi." He never met Jesus in his life. He just met him the first time. But how did he know that Jesus was a rabbi? Divine revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Peter experienced the same thing too.
He said, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal to you. My father did. Same with Nathaniel. Because how did he knew about Jesus? They just met him. He said, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. So Peter was not the only person that answered Jesus when Jesus said, tell me who I am. Nathaniel did. Actually, Nathaniel did before Peter. Because Jesus actually prophesied into his life. He said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see, Nathaniel had the right view now of God, of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, this is my view about you. Every other prophet in Nazareth, every other Pharisees in Nazareth, they're no good. But for you, you're distinct. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus liked that. Jesus, you see, Jesus will take glory when you tell him who he is exactly. But if you tell Jesus who Jesus is not, he will not respond. If you think Jesus is a liar, he will not move. If you think Jesus is weak, nothing will move for you. If you think Jesus is lazy, nothing will work for you. If you think Jesus is not capable, nothing will work for you. If you don't see Jesus as a healer, you will not get your healing. If you don't see Jesus as your supplier, you will not get no provision. How you see God, your perception of God will determine his power manifest in your life. Jesus liked that. Yeah, I am the Son of God. I am the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? See? He said, just because I said to you that I saw you, and then you start using all this trying to praise me. Sometimes we need to praise. You see, when you praise God, when you tell God who God is, you know, you're bigging God up. You know, God likes glory. God likes praises. When you come to church, God, you are the I am that you are. You are the Alpha and Omega. That's why I like Nigerians. They will give God all sorts of names. You are my bread and butter. And it's true. Meaning you are my provider. Jesus said, because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe. What? That's strange. And you give me all these type of names? And look at the results. When you have a childlike faith in God, you see greater things. He said, you will see greater things than these. Jesus didn't even do anything profound. Oh, Nathaniel, you're going to be my apostle. Nathaniel, you're going to be doing this. Some of us want to hear something so profound from God before we believe God. That was not the case. Jesus was surprised. Because I said these things to you that I saw you under a fig tree. An ordinary fig tree. Because I saw you believe, you will see greater than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you. You see, when you put faith in God and your faith is genuine, your faith is real, God will make sure that faith will do something great. He said, most assuredly. Now he was speaking to Nathaniel. Nathaniel, this is what I will do for you. I say to you, year after, you shall see heaven open. Hey. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. His revelation of Jesus Christ determined what Jesus Christ will reveal to him. Because he said that you are the Son of God. Now, the result of him getting that belief in Jesus Christ is him seeing the Son of God descending, ascending. He said, you see me as the Son of God, now see what the Son of God can do for you. If you see Jesus as a healer, now see what the healer can do for you. How you see God will determine how God will manifest himself to you. You see me as the Son of God? You see me as a Savior? Of your sin, I will deliver you. I will save you. Look at the two thieves on the cross. One of them said, you see, oh God, child of God, the two thieves, an example. They saw Jesus as a criminal because they were judged, crucified. One of them changed his mind. One of them said, oh, you call yourself a savior. Why won't you come down? One of them said, remember me. He changed his mind. Jesus said, I will see you in paradise. But both of them were criminals. Their view of Jesus Christ allowed one of them to enter into paradise. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Child of God, what you see in your mind about God, your vision, your imagination, will determine what God reveals to you. Amen? This is where I'm going to close. Conclusion. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. What
then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who died, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Can you imagine that? Who shall bring a charge against his elect? Wow. Who is God? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, sword? For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Child of God, how are you going to see great and do greater things? Number one, love. Love. The reason why I say love is because when you know that God loves you, God is capable to do anything for you. He did not spare his own son. Jesus said there's no greater love for a man to lay down his life. Amen. Number two, faith. Faith. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So love, faith, and last, service. Because Jesus said, if you want to be great, do what? Serve. So if you and I want to go about seeing great things, doing great things, we have to understand that God loves us. His love should be our motivation. Amen? And we have to believe in him. And then we have to serve. That's how you and I were able to see great and mighty things. Amen?